WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear. Hey, everybody, I hope you're having a good Sunday. And with that, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. And so what I want to do while I get my technical thing straight, play Monifa, Jesus is Love.
Word will be our salvation.
Yes, that was Jesus is Love by Monifa. And you're listening to Sunday Evening Shout in the Basement with Javon. I hope you can all hear me. I hope I'm coming through strong. I was having a little technical difficulty, and I don't hear that echo anymore, so I hope that I was able to straighten it out. And more than anything else, I hope you're comfortable, relaxed, and ready to come down from your weekend and prepare for a soothing evening and a really great week, a really powerful and positive Monday. Yeah. And tonight we have a very, very special guest coming on, none other than the legendary Sarah Dash of LaBelle fame. Some of you may be too young to remember the group led by Patti LaBelle and Nona Hendricks and Miss Sarah Dash, but we'll play a couple of songs by them that are positive and uplifting. As you know, this is a gospel show, but I also enjoy playing positive, affirmative music from people who are not ordinarily known for their gospel music styles. And I happen to know that Miss Sarah Dash is a very, very spiritual lady, very uplifting. And actually, a conversation that I had with her is one of the reasons why I do this show, why I chose to do this show. Actually, what she said to me was that my radio show is my ministry. And with that, I thought, wow, yeah, okay. I need to do something positive and make sure that I'm being as positive as possible with my ministry, what I bring to people, what I put out in the universe. And so, hence this show. And I hope you're enjoying it and what I've been doing so far. If you have suggestions, I am completely open. And, yeah. So, you know, I recently read something that sort of disturbed me, but I just want to get my head straight. So just bear with me as I play a couple of songs that lift my spirit and put me in a positive frame of mind. Okay? I appreciate your love, too. I feel it. I do. Peace be still. Yeah.
Come on with me. I'm talking about me. Yeah. In your home, on your job, late in the midnight hour.
I'm starting to pick up my spirit. I'm starting to move. It's starting to get there. Hope you're feeling it too. So I'm going to play Anything by Patti LaBelle and Mary Mary.
Yeah. Hi, this is Robinette, and you're listening to Sunday Evening Show. You can do this.
We want everybody to get up this evening.
Get on up. That's right.
Have a good time. Turn the music up. Yeah.
Woo, woo, boom, na, na. Woo, woo.
Check it. Dance, everybody down with us, just dance. Wanna feel the groove and clap your hands. They ask who's blessed tonight, I am. God's been good to me, never to be too late. And continuously, he's great, he's on time, even if I have to sit and wait.
Sitting in the corner reminiscing about the course my life has taken. All my ups and all my downs, but your mercy and grace has brought me to this day.
And I think, oh, no, no, no. Oh, what it's done,
oh, what it's done.
I can dance,
I know I'm ready. That was Robin S. and Mary Mary singing Dance. You know, Robin S., I love you. You are a wonderful, wonderful human being, and you inspire me. I'm just going to say it like that. You know, it's just you just inspire me. I want to do a little housekeeping right now before Ms. Sarah Dash comes on. As you know, you're listening to Sunday Evening Shout on Blog Talk Radio, WJBR. This is all under In the Basement with Javon on Saturdays from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. We have Brunch in the Basement with Javon, and on that show, we have the G-Spot with Mika Ray and What's Going On with Nathan James. I also have been very fortunate to have quite a few celebrities come on, and we listen to their music, and we interview them, and we listen to other music, and we talk. Recent guests have been Monifa and Therese from R&B Divas, and Karen Wheeler. Miss Sarah Dash has actually been on that show as well as Robin S., which is how I met her, and she's just a wonderful person. Additionally, we have another show on Monday evenings. Mika Ray's G-Spot has grown, actually, to her own show on Monday evenings, the G-Spot with Mika Ray, 10 p.m. to 11. And on the second Mondays, it is Intimate Realness with Mika Ray and Renair. So that's tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You might want to check that out. And I'm actually thinking about it, and I think I might start doing once a month a Thursday evening show where I'm just playing throwback music, throwback Thursdays, any music that was before the year 2000. So that could be fun. That could be fun. It's just that I've been doing a lot and trying not to overwhelm myself. So, but I'm loving doing this radio thing, and I hope you're loving tuning in, calling in and whatnot and so forth. So if you want to contact me, you can reach me at I Am Javon on Twitter. That's my personal page. And I've just created a page for WJBR. That's All Things on the Radio. So you should be able to eventually contact me, Mika Ray, Nathan James, on at WJBR Internet on Twitter. I also have numerous Facebook pages. There's the WJBR Internet fan page. There's In the Basement with Javon fan page. There's the Cheryl and Javon fan page, which is based on me and my partner Cheryl's music. And then there's just my regular Facebook pages, which is Javon Armstrong. I have two of those, you know, in case you want to check me out. And speaking of Cheryl and Javon, I do want to play one of our songs. It's called Pray With Me. And, yeah, I think that about covers it. If you are listening on your computer and you want to call in and say hello to me or Miss Sarah Dash, or you don't want to say hello, you just have something that you want to talk about, or you want to pray with us, or whatever it is that you want to say to us, you can call 347-996-5394. Press 1 if you want to be heard. If you have friends who don't have a computer but they want to call in and maybe listen, 347-996-5394. And with that, I'm going to invite you to check out me and Cheryl at Cheryl and Javon. Pray with me. Yes, yes. That's Pray With Me by Cheryl and Javon. And we are about to really, really, really be blessed with our special guest, Miss Sarah Dash. And in case some of you are too young to know exactly what her music is like, all I can tell you is that her voice is phenomenal and she will blow you away. She will just blow you away. She sang with Patti LaBelle and Nona Hendricks, and they had a group called LaBelle. They were also formerly known as Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, and we could talk with her a little bit about that history with the group. And then eventually the ladies all went their own way, and Dash, in addition to some more funk disco music that she did, she also did, let me just tell you, music with Keith Richardson, who's a Rolling Stone legend. I mean, she's done some phenomenal things. So, but in addition to all of that, she has always done spiritual music, uplifting, and her message, her vibe, has always been positive and uplifting and affirming. And so before we bring her on, I just want you to listen to her voice, her beautiful voice, in this song, I'm Still Here, Miss Sarah Dash.
When I look back over my life and I see all the things God's done for me, been through danger, heartache, and trouble, I thank the Lord, He's rescued me. The grace of God.
Endure so much in my life. Every day a different broken dream, they told me I was weak.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful voice. And let me just apologize really briefly, really quickly and swiftly and true to the course. I'm very excited. And so there are two songs by the name of, entitled I'm Still Here, and I started off with the wrong one, but hopefully I blended it so bad that you understood which one was which. Obviously, the last voice was that of the legendary, the beautiful, and my lips are just not working today, but that's okay. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. Because I have the wonderful, the legendary, the beautiful Miss Sarah Dash. Hello, Miss Dash, and welcome to Sunday Evening Shouts.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you, and I apologize for playing the wrong song. And it's one of those days. It's one of those days.
Yes, well, I guess those things can happen. You almost had me fooled for a moment there.
I know. Listen, I was like, that's really nice, but I don't think that's Miss Dash, you know?
That was, yeah, well, you know, that's what happens sometimes when we are thinking that we're on the track that we should be on and find out a train is on the wrong, rolling down the wrong track, you know.
You know, I guess it happens. It happens, but it's
okay.
It does.
It's a normal thing. It doesn't generally happen, but it happens, you know.
Yeah.
So
yes. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling so great. I feel marvelous. I really, really do. I feel really blessed at this time to be, you know, working toward new projects and things of that manner, and just to be here to talk with you, speak with you and your listening audience. I feel good.
Yes, and we're really blessed to have you with us this evening. I want to thank you for coming on, and thank you also for being one of the first people to say yes to me with the Saturday afternoon show. That was another blessing, and we spoke about and played a lot of the music from your days with LaBelle, and we spoke about your beginnings. And for those who may not have had the opportunity to hear that show, let's just talk a little bit about your beginnings. For example, your family life. You are the seventh child.
I am the seventh child of 13 children, 4 boys and 9 girls. I was born in Trenton, New Jersey, to the loving parents, Elder Abraham Dash, Abraham and Elizabeth Dash. I went to school in Trenton. I was raised in the Pentecostal church, Trenton Church of Christ. The residing pastor now is Elder Cornelius Morrow, with a lovely assistant pastors, Reverend Bobby and Reverend George Lewis, the younger ones, and some lovely deacons, and one of my nephews, I believe, Jason Williams, is also a minister there. I grew up in the church choir, the youth choir, started out the youth choir for Trenton Church of Christ. Then we would go with my father from time to time to sing with him when he started his doing the evangelistical work of our diocese. And my singing actually starts from home. My mom played piano. She was a nurse as well, and she used to play and have us around the piano, standing around the piano singing. And I can say that my root is from the church.
So when did you realize that singing was what you wanted to do as a vocation?
Well, I think it decided for me. I think music really decided for me. I knew, I listened to some family members who would come home complaining about their jobs. And one day my brother, he was walking in some kind of storm and a branch hit him in the face, and he went to work thinking the boss would say, no, you don't have to work, but he made him work. And I remember him coming home, and my mom was very upset because he was still in high school. And he was saying, oh, she said, I can't believe he made you work. And I remember saying to my mother, I was all of, 7 years old, and I said, I'll never work for anyone. I'm going to sing. And then all of a sudden I said, no, I'll have children with a white pretty apron on all day. But actually, music chose me. It's a gift that comes from God. Anyone that has artistic abilities knows it's from God. It's the universe. It's nothing that, it's like a calling on you. So at that very age of 7, I knew I could sing. I did my first solo in school, elementary school, at age 7. I remember being in the second grade, and they had no one in the school who could sing a song for the Thanksgiving program. And I was skipping and humming or something, and the teacher said, hey, come here for a second. Can you really sing? And I sang for her, and that's when I really did my first stand up alone singing. And I still remember it to this day. The name of the song was called With These Hands.
Hmm.
And as I said, music really chose me.
You must have been absolutely adorable. Adorable. I can only imagine with those dimples. And with a sweet little, with the dimples and the voice and the eyes, oh my goodness. For those of you who are listening, if you have not seen Miss Dash, if you don't know how beautiful she is, you have to Google her pictures. She's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So you must have been an adorable baby.
I don't know about that. I thank you so much for the compliment, and, when people talk to me, I've been developing this skin line forever, but when people talk to me about skin and talking about complimenting me as being beautiful, I come home and I look like in the mirror and I go, thank God for good bath soap and good scrubbing oils, and, But those things are essential to a woman's beauty to begin with. It's not oftentimes that it's a physical beauty. It's an inner beauty that we must exude to really present ourselves as women, as, people of a positive force, So
yes.
I hope that you're seeing the inside of me, and that I will readily accept.
Yes, well, and what you're saying is absolutely true, because you could be physically beautiful, and if the inner is not beautiful, the insides are not beautiful, then it sort of shines through. So, beauty of spirit shines through as well.
Yes, and that's the place that I'm speaking from. The beauty of the spirit itself, a spiritual life. You always know when you're going, when you are in the company of a spiritual person. It's just something that you sort of tap from the inside. You never really look at a person's physical attributes or something that you don't like about them. To me, I don't know anybody who's, some people say, oh, they're so unattractive. I think your personality makes you unattractive. As you said, Javon, I think, when we take an active role and being responsible for our actions, that's where your strength comes from, and it brings you through adversity. So some people, you know, they go, they have these problems and they blow up and you don't want to be around them, and they're non-forgiving when they settle back down because they don't know how to go inside and tone that voice down and bring that voice to a place where you can look someone in the eye, express love while you're expressing your discomfort about what you're in. And yes. I think that shows, because if you don't release it, you carry it, you know. It says, you know, you can't always choose what happens to you, but, you know, you can put some faith in that and know that everything is going to be all right, and you handle it a little differently, you know.
Right.
And even, you know, even in our adversity, we still have to hold on and be still. And I know that's like when you're confronted with something right away, you know, we're all human. So to release that so that it is understood and forgiven, you know.
It's part of
who we are, you know. And down through the years, I listened to your introduction of me about my music down through the year, and it just occurred to me that down through the years, most of my songwriting has been inspirational and talk about the beauty of the soul and the parts that give you faith. You know, and growing up again, as I'll go back to that place, as I reached high school, began to get more involved in singing, and that's when I put together the group here in Trenton called the Del Capris, which consisted of Nona Hendrix. She was one of the members. We had about five people in our group, and when that group split up, before we split up, we did have a manager. We found a manager from Philadelphia. One of the girls whose mother worked at a nightclub, she happened to book an artist from Philadelphia, and his manager, she told him about our group, and he became interested in the Del Capris. In the meantime, he was managing a group called the Ordettes, which was a group that Cindy and Patty were in. So people always say, well, they live, Nona and Sarah is from New Jersey. Patty and Cindy are from Philadelphia. How did you get together? Well, we got together, manager having both parts of both groups. When people fell away from my group, the Del Capris, and they fell away from the Ordettes, which is Pat's group, he combined us and made us one. And we made group.
So let me just jump in really briefly in case people don't realize what Cindy you're speaking about, that Cindy Birdsong who eventually landed with the Supremes, correct?
Yes. Cindy Birdsong was made an offer by Barry Gordy in Motown, and it was an offer that she said she couldn't refuse. Florence was leaving the Supremes, and they needed someone to step in, and they asked Cindy to join their group. I was later told that they wanted me, but I seemed to be a little snobbish and they didn't want me.
Really, you?
Well,
no.
I wasn't a snob. It's just that I was going to school on the road, and I never had time to really hang out and talk that much because I had my work to do, my schoolwork to do. I was the youngest one in the group, so I was still in school, you know?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that was the only way my mom and dad would allow me to continue to go into the music industry. I mean, you're talking about having a Pentecostal dad and a saved mother as well, and someone who went to Sunday school, young people's church and all these things, and all of a sudden my dad is confronted with the fact that he has a daughter who wants to go into show business. It was not an easy time to be in the Dash household, I'll tell you. But my mother and my older sister, they were the buffer. And my mom must have known that she had to let this child go. One of the stipulations was that we had to have a chaperone, which was our manager's wife, and we had a tutor. I had books that I had to carry with me to study. But I thank God for their willingness to have faith in me and to give me back to God that I would do the right thing. And to this day, Javon, I've never been to jail. I've never been, I mean, the Lord really touched me. There's so many entertainers who have had some, you know, shortcomings. I won't say they were bad because, you know, we all fall short.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and, but I can say I've never been to jail, never been arrested, because they instill that fear in me, and I'm a grown woman now, and I still have it.
Yes, well, good. They did a good job then.
I would say so. I would say so. So, yeah, being the Bluebells for a few years and Cindy leaving, going to the Supremes, of course, you know, Patty being the lead singer and Diana being the lead singer. It was not not easy, but we went to see Cindy and we were very forgiving. You know, we did forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She did what she had to do. Now later down the years when Cindy was no longer in the Supremes, I was talking to her about another situation. And for some reason, we got into the conversation about her leaving. And she told me, she said, if I had to do it over again, I would never leave the group. I would have never done it. I realized that, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do.
Right,
you know?
Right. But yeah. Sometimes hindsight is 20/20. Let me just... Yeah, right. Most of the time. Let me just play a quick little song from back then. Just so that people will get a little a feel of the flavor of Patti LaBelle and the Bluebell.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I'm going to play I Sold My Heart to the Junk Man. Really take them back, right? So just
okay. Hold
on. Everybody listen. This is Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, and I'm going to say featuring Miss Sarah Dash. I sold my heart to the junk man.
I sold my heart to the junk man.
It also brought smiles to my face because we did not know that we were talking about junk man being a drug dealer, and it was years later that someone explained that to us, that we were singing. That was a Billie Holiday song. Billie Holiday wrote that song. She and her piano player, when she was at her lowest point of doing drugs, and that's what it came from. I was thinking, because my dad was a scrap and metal man, that I was, you know, this was the junk man. I'm you know, but it actually, that's where that song came from.
Wow.
It was
a jazz song,
yes.
You know, I think you actually told me that Billy had done this before, Billie Holiday had done this before, and
yes.
I still haven't researched it and heard it yet, her version of it.
It's an amazing version. It really is. You know, it's something you should listen to and probably play in the basement, you know, because it's a good
yeah.
song.
But
good
you know
song.
what's really interesting, Ms. Dash, is that I'm just getting that the junk man was a drug dealer. I'm laughing at myself because I fancy myself worldly.
Am I educating you as well?
Yes, you are, as usual, as always, Ms. Dash.
Well, you know, we have a responsibility as you know, people who have learned and, you know, whose shoulders, we stood on someone's shoulders. It's time for you all to stand on ours, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, but, you know, finding out the history of a song and the music and the origin, you know, of a song that you sing and where it comes from, I find that very intriguing. In fact, it gives you a clearer idea. You know, you seem to put more into it, and you have a clearer idea of how you should approach it, and then spiritually it takes over. I think, you know, people should know the origin of the song and who wrote it in what year and, you know, where it came from. And I find that when I look back on some of the old jazz YouTube shows, that most of the jazz artists always knew who wrote their song and who arranged it, you know. So I think that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, it's very important.
Yeah.
Let's take a call right now. Caller 5022, are you the last four digits of your number? What's your name and where you calling from?
Yes, good evening. I'm Steve Wallace from Hartford, Connecticut.
Welcome
Hi,
to
Steve.
The show, Steve.
Hi, Ms. Dash. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great, great, great. Yeah, I just happened to see on Facebook that you were on the radio, and I said, let me just call in while I got a little bit of time and just say hi and God bless you. I love your legacy, and just keep on doing what you're doing. I just, you know, I'll be praying for you as, you know, time goes on, you know. And I'll say happy birthday again. You know, both our birthdays are a day apart.
Oh, okay. Are you the 19th or the 17th?
19th.
Oh, so you're born the same day as Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, happy birthday to you, Steve. And
yep.
Steve Wallace, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I feel so blessed to be sharing this moment with you, a fellow
leader. Yeah, likewise. Likewise. I've been a fan of yours since, if I recall right, I think my mom took me to the Bushnell Theater here in Hartford, Connecticut, to see
yes.
you and Bell back way back in that day.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your continuance to follow us, you know.
Oh yeah, I've been stuck on y'all since then, you know, been buying the albums by LaBelle and, you know, and yeah, the individual solos by Nono and yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. So much appreciative, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I'm the one, and just in case, just to jog your memory just for a hot second, I'm the one that chatted with you, and I told you that me and my fiance, we listen to Super Lover.
Okay. Yes.
That was, I think like last year sometime. Maybe you remember, maybe you don't. But anyway, I chatted with you and sent you that message, and me and my fiance, we were riding down the street listening to the latest LaBelle album, That,
so that was the reunion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and me and my fiance, we were singing Super Lover, and I sent you that chat just to let you know how much we love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. You're making me smile.
Oh, well, God bless. I'm glad I can. I don't mind.
God bless you. May he continue to bless you tremendously.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to quick holler at you, though.
Why, thank you, and have a great evening.
Okay, you as well.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was wonderful.
That was wonderful. He almost had a voice like a preacher.
Yeah, either that or a radio host.
Yeah,
a DJ.
Well, he has potential. Steve, if you're still listening, we just set up a new career for you.
Exactly, exactly. So after Cindy left, and you said there were initially five of you?
For the Delco, for Patty LaBelle. There were four members, Nona, Patty, Cindy, and myself.
Right.
If anyone ever gets a chance to go up to the Apollo Theater in New York City, there's a mural on the wall of all the artists who play there, and you will see the original members of Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells there as well.
Wow.
Who were the sweethearts of the Apollo.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so there were four of us. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask, once Cindy left, how did you guys decide not to invite another singer?
Well, we did. We were auditioning other females to be a fourth member in the group. And we had some different experiences. One experience particularly, and at the Apollo, we were playing the Apollo, and what was happening is, because when the promoters booked us, they booked us as four women, four singers, and we were being docked of money because Cindy left, and the promoters wanted not three singers, they wanted four singers. So we were trying to gather that, fill that void. And after a while, we just decided that we would be three. Our harmonies were not that terrible that we couldn't do that. We changed the way we looked on stage, not physically, but we used to sing around one mic, all the background singers. And so all of a sudden now we have three mics. It opened it up for a different and better look for us. It wasn't easy, I will tell you that, but we made it through. That was part of our regrouping. In fact, we stayed, we remained in that three position, three singers in that place, for about 2 years, and then we were getting pushed aside and bored. We were having managerial problems. Record company was still there. We were still on Atlantic, but we were just getting really bored and tired of the same circuits and the same things. And we had been going to London and doing a lot of stuff. Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells were the first black artists to play on UK television. And we met a producer there by the name of Vicky Wickham, who was producing the television show called Ready, Steady, Go. Well, I always kept up with all the correspondence, so I was writing her back and forth. She would ask how the group was doing, sent her thank you notes for having us on the show. And then I decided that I would open up to her and tell her that we were having problems, and we didn't know what to do. Our manager was going nuts on us. And she said, well, do you have gigs? And I said, yes, we have gigs. I said, we have the Apollo coming up. That will be our next big gig on the East Coast. And she said, we'll do it, and I'll bring some people to see you. Because she always loved our group. And
now,
with that, she brought the Who's management, and that's how we did it.
No, I'm sorry, but was that before or after Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
That was after Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Because I always thought that that was the song that kind of pushed y'all over the top.
You know, when Somewhere Over the Rainbow, well, let me explain this. Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, we always had regional hits. After I Sold My Heart to the Junk Man, we had more regional hits like D.C., Baltimore, Chicago. We played that circuit where they had all the theaters like the Regal, the Royal, the Howard Theater. We played that whole circuit. And our records were played in those towns, and we were huge in those regions. It's funny, Los Angeles was hard, but San Francisco was really a great town for us. So down in Florida. So we didn't have, like, the national exposure, but we were still signed to Atlantic Records. And then the Supremes came through, and they broke through, and they're sort of like every female group sort of was almost forgotten about because a great big splash. At one time, it was the Shirelles, you know. Mm. And so, but, yes, that was Somewhere Over the Rainbow was on Atlantic Records. Jerry Wexler produced Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And that did very well for us. It did do well.
Yeah. I'd like to play it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's play it. It's a very positive song.
Okay.
It speaks of dreams and hopes, and why can't I?
Okay,
and,
which one are you playing, Javon? I have to ask you that. Are you playing the group or are you playing Patti?
I believe it's the group. Okay, you know what? So let me, maybe I ought not play it if I'm not going to play the right version.
Because Patti later recorded it. And she did a phenomenal job. So I would just want to make sure, based upon our opening song.
I know, right? Because I did fudge that one. I will admit it. But, okay, so then how about we talk a little bit more.
Sure.
About, because I think everybody more or less knows the song. So we don't have to play the song.
Okay.
Song. Everybody knows that song. So we could talk a little bit more because now I'm feeling a little wobbly. Because I'm not sure, my fault. But I also feel strong in that the rest of the story of your phenomenal career is interesting enough that we can keep going and not stop with the song.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I was going to ask, now, once the Who, the representative from the Who came to see you guys at the Apollo, what happened from there?
Well, Smokey Robinson was starring. He was the star. We were the co-stars. I forget who were the other acts. But we knew that Vicky was coming, and she was bringing some people. She told us she was going to come on that Sunday. But during that whole time, we had phenomenal fans. And each time, you know, at the Apollo during that time, you did 3 and 4 shows a day, okay?
Wow.
So there, each time Patti LaBelle and Bluebells went out there on the stage, we tore the Apollo down. The people were screaming for more. And I always tell the truth because this is a part of the story of my one-woman show. Smokey Robinson didn't speak to us for a long time because he could not get on that stage after we were on it. And he himself, when he presented us with the R&B Pioneers Award, he told the same story, so I don't feel bad telling it. He said, and I had to follow these girls. But Vicky brought the Who, management, and at that point she said, you should go to London and regroup, change everything, and just come back completely different. And the first place we played when we came back from London after restructuring our sounds, start writing our music, changing the way we looked, no more same gowns. We actually, LaBelle was instrumental in how most performers perform today, especially particularly in the R&B field. We changed wearing, you know, how women dressed on stage. We were no longer wearing the same gowns, the same wigs, the same shoes, stockings, whatever. And we were still a unit, but we brought out our individual styles. And we changed the way that Nona and I changed the way, with Pat, along with Pat, how we approached our music. We were now singing as if we had three leads, even though we were singing background. We approached the music with a different kind of force as instead of that little ooh, ee-ah, whatever we were doing in the background. I mean, not that they were that soft, but if you get my drift, then now the style was more open and it was more free-formed. And there we were with our individual styles. We weren't wearing any wigs. We were wearing our individual, our hair, and just free. That was the beginning. That was the evolvement of LaBelle, how LaBelle transformed from Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells into LaBelle.
Amazing. Amazing. And being that I was a child during that time, and I wasn't at the theaters. However, I definitely saw you guys on television, you ladies on television. And when I did, I just went crazy. We all went crazy. And my cousin, who's my favorite cousin, she used to dress me and my other two little cousins up as much like you all as she could and have us performing this song that I know for a fact is LaBelle.
Okay.
And I'm going to play it, and then we'll talk about, I want to talk about this song as it relates to your family background and your religion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, hey Joe, you wanna give it a go? Yeah.
It is so hard for me not to sing along with that song.
Yes, that song, it really changed our lives. It was the most unusual song. It was written by Bob Crewe and the Pepsi Generation. And when we did our first record deal with Epic Records, Alan Toussaint was chosen to be our producer. And that song is taken from Nightbird's album. We had chosen all the songs that we wanted to record, leaving room for Alan to put three on. And Nan and Patty were in California for their vacation. I went to the islands, and we were all meeting up for a record company convention 2 weeks later. Well, during their stay or in their vacationing time in California, Bob Crewe invited them to his house for dinner, thinking that all three of us was there, but it was okay. And he told them he had a song. He wanted them to come to dinner. Bob Crewe, I'm told, performed this song for them, convinced them. And when I heard it, as rough as it was with the Pepsi Generation, I knew it was a hit. That was the last song we took to Alan. And when Alan heard it, he knew it too. And the rest is actually history. The song was actually picked up in France before it really hit here. French CBS record people from France heard it and convinced CBS had to let them release it there first. And the people in France thought we were black French women. it was an international hit. I'm looking now on my wall at gold records from Brussels, Spain, USA, all over, Germany.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So,
yes, it was a blessing.
How did your...
You said that you wanted to talk about that song pertaining to the way I grew up as in the church.
Right. And specifically, how did your father receive this song and your newfound fame and you guys, the way you were dressing, which was provocative for those days.
Yes,
I loved it, but since your father was actually a pastor.
Well, the way I dressed that way with the silver bra, you know, I had the 21-inch waistline at that time, but I wasn't a hussy with it. I wasn't a hoochie mama. If you go and you study the tapes of LaBelle, the way I was dressed, I was all out there. It was provocative, but I wasn't slutty with it. I wasn't squatting down and hooching up and standing over. You know, I didn't do any of that. I did it with style and class, and I can say that honestly, and pat myself on the back. To say when I stepped on the stage, I didn't have to do that. No one had ever seen that look before. And you just stretch the imagination as far as you want. And I left it to their imagination, you know?
Yes.
My father was introduced to Lady Marmalade when we played the Metropolitan Opera House. He had not come to see the group. I think we were singing for 15 years at that point, and he had not come see the group at all. Playing the Metropolitan Opera House, we got the press of life because no one had ever done that in the music industry. R&B, rock, pop group playing the Metropolitan Opera House. We asked everyone to wear silver. Every television station from here to California picked it up. It was a major news item. And my father was told by his family members, you know, this is Sarah that's making history with, you know, Sarah, Nona, and Patty are making history, and you really should be there, Dad. And he came for the first time at the Metropolitan Opera House.
Amazing.
And I didn't know he was in the audience. And so when we introduced Lady Marmalade to the audience, you know, there's a part that breaks down, and I'm standing up there going, yeah, girl, if you're going to give it away for money. I come down the stage when we're singing "What Can I Do for You?" My sister's running down the aisle going, "You know, Dad sitting right up there, and he heard you say everything." But my father was okay because he knew he didn't raise a slut.
It was part of the act.
Yeah, it was part of the act, and we talked about it. He said, "You know, what you do for a living really has nothing to do with you, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he later explained to me that, you know, he had to admire my strength for going against the teachings of what he believed in a religious pattern, but he was very proud of me because I brought him no shame. He never had to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to send me bail money or, you know, I was raised the way he wanted me to be. But he reminded me also I didn't go to college and be the lawyer he wanted me to be. So when I think about Lady Marmalade, I think about Mary Magdalene in the Bible and those who study the word can understand that. And, you know, those who are without sin cast the first stone.
Absolutely.
Not trying to be so philosophical at this time, but to really get the audience to understand that, you know, if we spend more time with what's in us except and not around us, you know, we can really stand under the pressure of what people think, we're doing wrong, you know, or judging us, you know, because, you know, when you, that song, sometimes you have to encourage yourself because there will be no one there to encourage you. They will look at you and judge you. And I knew that the way that we were and the way that I dressed, that sometimes security had to, you know, snatch a few men and say, "Hey, come here. No, no, no. She did not offer herself to you." You know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, it brought that kind of behavior from other people. But it had nothing to do with me because when I was off stage, I loved to wear very couture, tailored suits, dresses, everything was just very tailored. And a lot of times when people would see us at the airport, they'd go, "Where's Sarah?" because they expected me to show up with a halter top on. And I'd be standing there with a suit on. And, you know, I love good classic clothes. And to this day I do. I like to be different, classy, and respectable. I mean, you know, you do the things that will help your act along the way, but you don't carry that with you. You know, it's not, and it wasn't a bad thing. It's just that you just know you don't let that work against you because you're in this called show, you know. And you know, taking the actor role and being righteous and living the right way, I would get up every morning and pray and read my Bible because that's what my father taught me to do. We would pray in the morning before we would go to Sunday school. We would all be on our knees. And I am so thankful to God that I had that training, you know, that he took that active role with me at a very early age, he and my mom, and they taught us how to be gracious and kind to people. You know, sometimes we forget to be that way with ourselves, but no one can get between any of these families. I mean, you could talk about yourself among yourself, but nobody enters that realm that your parents sets up for you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Nona and Patty. It's like people know that Noah's don't talk about them to me and vice versa. They're the same way. You know, we're learning and we learned, you know, that you can't judge people, you know. Because the tongue is a great weapon. I mean, it's mired in the sword. And, you know, so sometimes you have to be careful in how you're communicating your thoughts or what you think. But if nobody asks you, stay on your side of the fence, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
Actually, you know, I want to play another song, a song that you wrote, and it was performed by LaBelle.
Yes.
Which I just recently discovered. Peace with you, with yourself, peace with yourself.
Yes, yes.
And you want to give us a little background on that song?
Well, you know, we had just come back from London, and I was getting divorced from my husband. I was very young, and I just didn't know what to do. And that's when I began to delve into more spiritual books and teachings of Be Here Now. And, you know, one day I was sitting on my balcony in my apartment. I just got in the apartment, a wraparound balcony, sitting on it, and I'm looking over Manhattan. And something quietly said, you know, the only way you're going to get peace, you know, is to have it with yourself. And your soul, and your body, and your heart, and then there is God. You know, your battles are not coming from God. They're coming from your own soul, and you're in the middle of chaos. But, you know, the only way you're going to sink is the chaos, if you let the chaos inside of you. And you will be, you know, that's where you will fall. So it's, you know, I started learning how to be calm in the midst of chaos. I heard a pastor say not too long ago, you know, when a boat is in the water, it won't sink, but if the water gets in the boat, it will sink. And so with yourself, it's like, you know, how are you going to find peace with yourself? How are you going to get peace from anybody if you don't have peace with yourself? It's like losing when you don't have nothing to gain. You know, trusting in the power. You have to trust in God's power, you know. And that way you survive, you know, you survive things that most people will fall apart with. So finding that inner peace. That's why you meditate, you pray, you take the time in the morning to go to that still, quiet place, and you just let that peace come. And if you do that every morning, you know, and that peace began to grow inside of me. It really did.
Love it. Love it. Let's play it.
Okay.
Peace with Yourself, written by Ms. Sarah Dash. For LaBelle. Thank you. Now, I love that.
If you can't get it from yourself, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I love that one.
I almost forgot what that sounded like. I thank you, Javon, for reintroducing me to that song tonight.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the feel of it, the music of it. I could see the people dancing, and all I could see is psychedelic colors. You know, yeah. I mean, and
it does have a
smile
to it too. It's
oh my god, it's classic.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. You know, oftentimes when I would introduce new songs to Nona and Pat, sometimes they weren't readily accepted, but they found that Peace With Yourself was good. And I must tell you this, too. I'm Still Here was written for, I wrote that song with Renee and Pup, but the song was written really for, I wanted it to be our national anthem for the reunion of LaBelle.
Oh.
And one of the producers said, I don't know, but I thought it was a mistake because if you hear the way I start the song, it's written with Nona starting and me coming in the middle. It was written in three parts, and I really wanted I'm Still Here to be our national anthem for our music, you know? But when it was down, I decided to put it on my inspirational CD, which is called The Seventh Child. The Seventh Child will be reintroduced to my website around November, and you'll be able to purchase it by going to www.sarah-dot.net, as will be with my fragrances, too.
Ooh, fragrances.
But,
nice.
Yes. But, you know, all this has come about, you know, from just being thinking about your future and thinking about the legacy you want to leave behind. And, you know, as I was talking about songwriting, some of the songs that I was writing, we never got a chance to record them as a group, but I'm putting all of them together, and they will be, if, you know, God is on my side, we will be able to record the songs that LaBelle never recorded that I wrote. And when I listened to them, I said, you know, probably wasn't right, but nothing is ever right until you do it. But this time it has a different meaning, even to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's like they say, when God puts the seed and it is ready to come to life. So I guess the seed is in there and I'm ready to bring them out. You know?
And everything in God's time.
Yes. And, you know, when you bring forth what he has inside of you, because you can only bring forth what he has inside of you. I mean, you just can't, like my dad used to say, an apple tree can't produce a mulberry bush, you know.
You know that's true.
Yes. You can only be who you are, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, and I, as I say, you know, faith is one of the things that I totally believe in. You know, like I said, you can't always choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you put your faith in everything and knowing that everything is going to be all right, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, well, I saw something on Facebook as we were talking about, you know, how we come to places where we're disagreeing and, you know, with Cindy leaving and all, you know, the groups and things that happen down through the years and, you know, how the past affects us. And, you know, in some cases we need to sit back and have a talk about it. My friend and I were talking the other day, and I said to her, I said, you know, I made amends with one of a person that I had a strong opposition with. And I said, you know, we had a real good talk, and we talked this out. And she was saying, that is so good. And then I was looking on Facebook, and I saw this message. It says, the first to apologize is the bravest, and the first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest.
Wow. That makes sense.
You know, again, in writing, I wrote another song We did record that. We didn't record that either. And it's, but I put it on one of my albums on Kirshner Records. You know, it's a song that, you know, called I Feel Good Being Me, Now What About You? If I see another day, will I say what I have to say? And would I be heard by all, you know?
Yeah.
That's been the, you know, the line of my writing, which, you know, has all kinds of, that's I wouldn't call it the residue of my upbringing, but it is. It's like being brought up in a faith-based home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you think that way for a lot of years, and I still do, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, I'd like to play another song of yours that I think is on that album, The Lord Will Make a Way.
That's on my Seventh Child Inspirational CD, yes.
Yeah. I'd like to play that song,
and
if that's
that is,
okay.
I'm joined by Bishop Jenkins' brother, Carl Jenkins of Trenton, New Jersey. He is the young man that's on that song. From his brother is the Bishop Jenkins, that true servant in Trenton, New Jersey. So that's Carl featuring Carl Jack Jenkins.
Excellent, excellent. So let's play that.
Okay.
The Lord will make a way, Ms. Sarah Dash. And Carl Jenkins?
Carl Jenkins, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a song that my mama and the old school saints would sing. I can remember back in prayer meeting that a deacon would stand up and say a few words like this. He would say,
I know the Lord will make a way. Yeah.
Do I got a witness out there?
I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will.
Listen, listen. I may not have a friend who'll go with me till the end, but I know the Lord
too.
Oh, thank you.
Your voice. I just love your voice.
Thank you so much. You know, my reason for doing that inspirational CD was because I was raised in the church, and the Lord had kept me through many battles and different kinds of seasons. And I woke up one day, it took me about 6 years to decide to go in the studio. And I said, you know, it's time to give something back to the church, give something back to where I've come from. And that's how that evolved. And wanting to decide what, you know, what to do, what to call it, I realized that I was the seventh child and my father was the seventh child. And so I decided to call it the seventh child, Sarah Dash, the seventh child.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you know, in your family, there's one special person aside from you that I've made myself quite acquainted with only through his little voice, which is Andre.
Andre.
Now Andre's a big boy, right? I'm sure.
Yes. Yes, he's, Andre is 9 or 10. He's 9.
Not, yeah. Right. And how old was he when he recorded the song with you?
He was 3 years old, going on 4.
Oh, my goodness. Cookie-licious, delicious little boy. I'm telling you, I'd be doing myself a disservice if I did not play this song.
I call him Scooter.
Oh, my goodness. Is he as cute as he sounds? Is he as delicious
as
he sounds?
Is so handsome and so bright and so smart. He reads, he's reading like in, what is he now, in like 5th grade? I think he's like 8th or 9th grade level reading.
Wow.
He's amazing. He is amazing. And every year, he and I have this special bond. When I was sick and Andre was probably all of 15 months old, and he would never really let me hold him, but he did this particular weekend. He came down, spent the weekend with me and my sister, and I took care of him. And when he got back home, he wouldn't go to sleep unless he talked to his Aunt Sarah. We bonded, and I had to go to the hospital. He walked in that room and saw me, and I bet he got into bed with me. He's this little boy. And when I was checking out of the hospital, he wanted to ride in the wheelchair with me. I had to hold him. We just bonded. They say I tried to steal him from my niece, but I didn't.
Well, is it okay if I play the song?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ms. Day. I just have to play it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It's called We Need Love.
Yes, We Need Love.
And my nephew Cameron's on there as well. Other little one. And he's, what, 8 years old at the time, yes.
Wow. Okay, so everybody, you're going to love this.
All the voices.
Who wrote this song, Ms. Dash? Who wrote this song?
I co-wrote it with Donald Bolden, the guy who co-produced the CD with me. And all the voices on there are my family. They're my nieces and nephews. All of them are on this song.
I love it. Okay, this is Sarah Dash and Family. We Need More
Love. We Need
More.
Yes. Andre?
Yes, Aunt Sarah.
Why do we need love?
Cause, to make us happy.
We do?
Yeah.
And after we are happy, what happens?
We can do a lot of things.
A lot of good things?
Yeah.
Love is message. Says stop crying, always a pain. Love one another. Stop all the fighting, cause there's another way. There could be peace in mankind, but we have to trust and believe. One day we'll all be free. Love is all we need. This message is sent with urgency. My prayer is you'll take it. Cause we need just not a four-letter word. Everything, the reason why I, the reason for my
the reason why I believe. Now take these words, to impart one another, so that this love can show beyond all measure. Oh, it's in with urgency, my prayer is your safety. But no, it's not too late. There is another way. Oh, I'm sharing this message of love. It stands from up above and hopes that you may see what it is the world needs. We need. Yes. Say it louder. Can you tell them again? Make it plain, yeah. And keep on telling them we need love. Oh, we need love. Can you tell them again? All the children say, I want the children to say it. Tell them children, say it again. Yeah. Say it louder. Say it from the little heart. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. I think I got it now.
The world is full of love, my favorite.
I love that song. I love that song. So, Ms. Dash, please let us know, what are you up to these days? What's going on in your world?
What I'm up to these days is that I have a project called Sarah Dash, One Woman. It's a biographical piece that is theatrical music. It's a musical theater piece. I'm on the Board of Governors for the Grammys. I'm a trustee for the newly formed Capitol Philharmonic Orchestra here in Trenton. Our maestro's name is Dan Spalding. We have about 60 musicians. Our opening night is October 25th, and it's going to be at the Patriot Theater here in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm also doing, I'm on a speaking circuit for the New Jersey Trenton College, Trenton State College, which I'll be speaking and doing a seminar on September 24th. I'm also involved with Evalua House in Philadelphia, founder Cheryl Wadlington. We just, the girls just graduated from this summer session, and I participated in their graduation. Every year I'm involved with them with their fundraisers. It's a great organization. Also, I do, because the Lord blessed me with having disco hits, I just went back in June, I did a show with Melba Moore, Yvonne Elliman, and Maxine Nightingale. I, you know, playing the Raz Room, 54 Below. I did a wonderful thing, which is when I last time I saw Joan Rivers, something called Fowls and Judy's, where we raised funds for teenage HIV students, children. Also, I just reissued with my little cousins who were also on We Need Love, a group called Ave. We got together and re-recorded What Can I Do For You. We did our version of it. Maurice Joshua, a Grammy Award-winning producer, did a remix for us, and it's been out for maybe a couple of months. We just finished editing the video for it, so there's a lot going on. And I'm also teaching voice. I have wonderful students, Samantha and Joshua, And they're both very talented people, young people, and, you know, helping them get through the vocal training into the recording process and making records. And then I have some other business ventures that I'm working on, which I can't talk about right now. But I also have my fragrance line. We're developing the skin line. I have a wonderful young lady who is working with me on that. So, you know, these are the things that really cause my heart to beat. I'm very conscious of what goes on in our community and where I live in New Jersey. And I try to always remain positive with my neighbors and people that I meet, at the same time being very cautious to take care of myself. So those are the things I'm doing right now. Are you tired?
I'm not tired. I'm excited about the whole thing, and I look forward to having you as a guest on the show again soon. As soon as that video is completed, please send it to me, and I'll send it out to everybody. And when you're ready, come on this show again or the Saturday show again.
Well, you know what I would like to do, Javon, the next time I come back, you know, play like Center Man, my disco hit, and some of the albums that I recorded solo that people didn't get to hear a lot of the music, that's resurfacing now, and people, just like you found Peace With Yourself, people are finding my solo albums, and they're, you know, sending links and putting them on Facebook, and so I'd like to delve into that and what Sarah Dash did when LaBelle broke up and talk about that a little more. You know?
Okay, excellent. Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I have really enjoyed this talk. I love to talk anyway, so you have to sometimes shut me up.
Absolutely. Well, not the absolutely have to shut you up part, but absolutely. would love to talk about everything that you've done, and we can no doubt play Center Man, the LP, and talk about what you did with Keith Richardson. I always want to delve into that a little bit, and I never really even got into that. Time just flies so fast.
You know, it was a blessing because Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells did the Rolling Stones' first American tour. We did the first tour with them. And all down through the years kept, you know, in touch with them. And when Keith invited me to be on his solo project, I can't tell you how happy I was. And then I got to sing on Steel Wheels with Lisa Fisher and Bernard Fowler. Those are our three voices. And when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was doing a tribute to the Rolling Stones, we were asked to come out there to be a part of it. So, you know, along with Nils Loggen and a whole bunch of people that work with the Stones, we were all there. We were like the Rolling Stone band. And Mary Clayton was there. I mean, it was just really wonderful. So, you know, having these wonderful music experiences, I know I keep saying wonderful all the time, but it is great to have that kind of blessing over you. And I don't take it for granted. I don't walk around, I'm this and I'm that. Never, never. You know, I never try to carry that as an instrument or a sword to knock other people down, because I don't believe in that. I think I'm sometimes too nice to a fault. But that's neither here nor there. You know, it's just like I know that God has strengthened me and kept me, and he's brought me through a lot of adversity, and, you know, he chose me to be his child, you know. And so, you know, like I'm very grateful, you know, because, you know, being grateful is really not a challenge. It's an opportunity to freely express yourself, you know, an appreciation of the benefits that you receive. So I'm very grateful.
Yes. Well, I'm very grateful to have had the opportunity to speak to you on more than one occasion and to introduce you and your music and all that you've done to those who are younger than me and people my age who may not know of all of the wonderful successes that you have had with the other ladies and on your own.
Yes.
So,
you know, that's the one unique thing about Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, LaBelle, Nona, Patti, and Sarah. We have had three career changes, and we're probably one of the only groups that are currently active in our music career. I mean, all three of us have done individual things, and yet we're all the same. But we are very current. We're always active. And it feels good to run into each other and say, what are you doing this week? Patty's out with, you know, Frankie Beverly Mays and Ruben Studdard, known as going to Spain in a couple weeks. And I'm here working with my students and working on my one-woman show and doing shows. And, you know, I'm also a motivational speaker. And like I said, I'll be doing some seminars and at colleges this year as the semester starts and into 2015. So the Lord, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much again, Ms. Dash. And I'm going to play Hold On.
All right. Yes.
To end this show. And as like I said before, you know, all you have to do is say, Javon, I want to come on. I'm coming on such and such a day.
Okay.
And I'll make room for you. Whoever's
Javon, let me shout
on,
out to let me shout out to Team Dash, Philip Mannon, Dr. David Rosenberg, the ever-loving Robert Risco, Kevin, my sister, Deanna, and Dion. Without that team and that force, they keep me together. They always tell me the truth. And Hondo when I can find him.
All right. Everybody hold on. It's Sarah Dash. God bless you. And remember, God loves you, and so do I.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.